time for Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. How can we use media, technology, digital technology, for proclaiming the good news of Jesus, for sharing that good news of Jesus, for engaging in conversations that lead to the good news about Jesus? I'm going to visit with our friends from Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, the Christ in Media Institute. They're carrying on their tradition now of the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, the great work that they do, all the fine programs they have to offer. Just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. There you'll find Concordia University, Wisconsin in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Tom Custer, Christ in Media Institute Director. Dr. Custer, welcome.
Thank you, Andy. We really appreciate your interest in what the Christ in Media Institute is doing.
Well, certainly. We have common goals and what you're doing with Christ in Media Institute and this online conference certainly intrigues me, and I'm sure many of our listeners as well, as they seek to share the good news of Jesus with others in their lives, particularly through their vocations, avocations, the things that they do with digital media and technology as well. And it's always interesting to me, and I'm sure to many of our listeners as well, especially for our college students who are learning about these technologies and learning how to use them. How does that fit into their many vocations as well? Now, Tom, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, as the college students know better than perhaps anybody, the media and technology are just mushrooming and growing and changing rapidly. And so it really takes a lot of effort to stay up to date on what's happening and figure out how to make use of it for reaching out with the gospel.
Tell me a little bit about the history of this Gospel Outreach with Media conference. We've talked about this a few times here. We've talked about it, I think, most years that it's been hosted. How did it begin, and what's the need for understanding media?
Well, first of all, maybe a quick review of what an online conference is. Most people have been to a conference. You attend some presentations. Each presentation followed by a little discussion as time permits. You travel there, you spend some money staying in a motel or something. In an online conference, there's no travel. There are no days off that you have to take. You can do this on your own time. There's no fee. It's free. We hosted an online conference. So you remember we talked about this last spring, just after Easter. And it was open for discussion. There are presentations online. People can go to GOWM, that stands for Gospel Outreach with Media.org, and witness that conference. It was open for online discussion for 3 weeks after Easter. After that, we archived it, so it's still available. People can go there and still witness it. We had such a good experience with that conference after Easter last spring. The Holy Spirit really blessed it with a good active discussions and lots of participation. By the time the 3 weeks of discussion closed, we had already heard from many of the states in the U.S. and 51 foreign countries. Of course, since it's been archived, we've continued to have visitors to that conference online. And as of last night when I checked, we'd heard from 42 states, 415 cities in those states, and 72 countries, 173 cities in those countries. And just last night, we got our first visitor from Dubai and the United Arab Emirates. So I think it really illustrates the potential for an online conference.
What are some of the outcomes of previous conferences? What are some of the things that have resulted from these conferences that you think are beneficial?
Well, we have people have made connections. That happens at face-to-face conferences too. But in the online conference, in the discussion period particularly, and again, that's open 3 weeks after the conference opens, people discover each other. People that would never have known each other exists, suddenly discover they have a common interest, and they're able to talk with each other and get in touch with each other and create some collaborations. We had a couple of instances of that where some people who had some movie-making ideas got put together with some people with experience at movie-making, and they explored the potential of that. And so this is the kind of thing that happens at any kind of conference, and it happens in this kind of conference as well, with the added benefit that we have this worldwide outreach.
What are what you would consider some of the challenges or things that make it difficult to meet, particularly for the way that you're meeting for the gospel outreach with media?
Well, we examined the results of this first conference last spring, and while it was very pleasing, as I said, we were looking for ways to improve it. And one of the things we discovered is that the discussion in our springtime conference did not draw participation that we'd hoped for from students. And so this time, we decided, first of all, the success had prompted us to plan additional conferences. And so to try to reach more students, we thought it might be better to host a conference like this in the fall rather than in the spring. In the fall semester, I think we would be better able to solicit support from faculty, from teachers in high schools and colleges that could incorporate this conference into their classes more easily than if we did it after Easter, especially next year. Easter is so late and the school year is almost over. And so we planned a fall conference this time, aimed particularly at students. And we didn't want to wait till fall 2017. We thought we had some momentum going this year. So we're planning a smaller conference, 9 or 10 or 11 presentations this fall. And this conference opens on October 10th, in just a couple weeks. And it's open for online discussion for 3 weeks and closes on Reformation Day, October 31st. After that, it's archived and anyone can participate and can visit the conference, although the online active discussion is closed after that time.
What will we be covering in the online conference this year?
Well, you'll be talking, I think, to some of the presenters, and we're kind of excited about all of the people who are presenting. Besides those you'll be talking with, we have a couple of, this is truly an international conference. We have a couple of presenters from outside the U.S. We have Pastor Jorge Briones from León, Mexico, who's going to be writing about his use of mobile technology for gospel outreach, and he'll be writing entirely in Spanish. So we hope that the students who are studying Spanish in all of our schools can engage with him and not only learn what he's doing, but practice their language skills. We also have another overseas presenter. This is Pastor Peter Krikora, who is in Pilsen, Czech Republic, and he's had some experience with using music, especially with young people, both in worship services and out of worship services, for reaching out with the gospel. So he has a really interesting presentation on how music can be used for gospel outreach.
And what is what will you be presenting on this year?
Well, my own, I can't resist jumping into the conference myself. And I have a presentation on movies. It's entitled, What Made That New Movie Christian? What Makes That Movie Christian? Well, I go way back. I'll reveal my age here. I, when I was a teenager, enjoyed some of the great Hollywood biblical epics, you know, the Quo Vadis with Deborah Carr. And, of course, in the 50s is when the first Ten Commandments came out with Carlton Heston and other movies. Hollywood seemed to be taking the Bible at least seriously enough to know they could make some money off of these big movies. And they were some enjoyable movies. Since then, there's been a trail of so-called Christian or faith-based movies. Maybe the Jesus film that came out in 1979 and is still being viewed worldwide. It dramatizes the Gospel of Luke, and it's much watched even today in many languages. But this current decade, the 2010s, we've got a flood of movies. Maybe that's because movies are less expensive to make these days. You don't need Hollywood. And so we've had a lot of Christian movies. If you look on IMDb, the industry website, they list the top 10 Christian movies. Number one is The Passion of the Christ, came out in 2004. Interestingly enough, their second place great Christian movie is The Hiding Place. That's from 1975. It's a really good movie starring Julie Harris. But in this decade, we've got a flood of Christian movies. Wikipedia lists 61 Christian films produced since 2010. And so that raised the question in my mind, what makes a movie Christian? A lot of these claim to be Christian. From our perspective, from our Lutheran Christian perspective, what makes a movie Christian? And that's what I address in my presentation.
And certainly a good question. How do you look at a film? What are some ways that you go about thinking about a film critically?
I used to have a really strict criterion, a pretty absolute litmus test, and that is that the movie has to include the name of Jesus. I think that's a pretty obvious criterion for whether a movie is Christian or not. How could it be Christian without mentioning Christ? And better still, I thought to be Christian, the movie should actually tell us what Jesus did for us. You know, does it present the gospel? Does it explain the reason and purpose of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? That is, does it teach atonement, the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake? If it does, then, of course, we know it's Christian. Now, there are a lot of films that came out that proclaim the love of God and God's grace and things like that, but they didn't mention Jesus, and I thought that was a serious shortcoming. And so that was my early criterion. Does the name of Jesus appear in the movie? But I moderated that a bit, and in my presentation, I explained why and lay out a couple of other, I call them critical tools for critical thinking about movies that will help people decide for themselves when they see movies like this, whether they meet the standards, whatever those might be, of making them a Christian movie.
How do you have a way of rating them?
Well, I put out three ways. First of all, I moderated my very strict view and decided that perhaps the name of Jesus doesn't need to appear in a movie in order for it to advance people toward an open reception of the gospel. I've been talking to people, industry people that I respect, and for one thing, they say, in today's industry, you maybe can't get a movie that names Jesus into the places we'd like them seen, like the festivals, the theaters, the cable channels. They're just not accepted there, but something approaching that might be accepted there. And so then we might have to back off a little bit from our insistence on naming Jesus and accomplish lesser things. Beyond that, many people aren't ready to hear a gospel message. You know, if they hear a movie is about Jesus, they just don't want to go. And those are people who need to hear about Jesus. So maybe a movie can prepare their hearts a bit to hear about Jesus on another day. And so that can be a very helpful movie as well.
What are you looking forward to most about the conference this year, Tom?
Well, first of all, for my presentation, I'm hoping some people can who have seen some movies can chime in and talk about them in the terms that I've laid out, or their own terms for that matter. I've included a few reviews of 2016 movies that have taken on the mantra of being Christian. I've reviewed them very briefly, and I invite other people to do the same. Agree or disagree, talk about movies they've seen that I haven't. So that will be fun. And then the other presentations, just a lively discussion, especially from students. Other people are welcome. Everyone is welcome. It's free. It's available. But we hope that the students chime in. I'd like to hear what they say and can teach us about their use of mobile technology, of the internet, of various forms of media that they're probably more familiar with than I am. And we hope to learn a lot from them and have a really lively discussion.
How can we find the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference for this year?
It's really easy. It's Gospel Outreach with Media. The initials are G-O-W-M. And if you go to GOWM.org right now, you will find the spring conference archived there. But if you go to GOWM.org on October 10th, you will find the new conference open for discussion at that time.
Very good. Very good. GOWM.org. We're going to talk with more presenters for the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference here in just a little bit. Dr. Tom Custer, Director of Christ in Media Institute at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Thanks so much for being my guest today, Tom.
I really appreciate being on. Thank you.
Most certainly. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with more of the presenters for this Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining us by phone now, Nick Bartels, a senior and video maker at Lakeside Lutheran High School in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Nick, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Also, you're a presenter for the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference, presenting on making videos that promote your school and your Lord. Nick, tell me a little bit about your career as a video maker at Lakeside Lutheran High School.
Well, I started around sophomore year. I took the videography course here at Lakeside, and I really got going making videos. We did a few introductory things like a movie trailer, like we did for that video. Also, like a commercial, stuff like that, and I just got interested in it. I liked filming and editing, and then it kind of prolonged, and then Mr. Ackbarth asked me to help him out with a video on the movie trailer, and that's what I wrote about, so it's a fun experience. I liked it.
Well, very good. Now, I assume you're in school right now and missing out on class. It was nice of your teachers to let you out of class to come talk with us today. What class are you missing right now?
I'm not missing any. I'm just missing the work day because it's homecoming week here.
Uh-huh.
And we're working on floats and all that stuff. And I'm actually doing, because we have videos for our homecoming thing, and we're actually doing that. So I was just editing before, but so it's looking good. We're doing that.
So right now you're editing videos for homecoming?
Right, yep. And we just do it based on the football team and Warriors, and then just who they are playing, their opponent, and then just incorporating, you have to have, like, your senior class, which I'm doing, like, 2017, and different stuff like that. It's pretty fun, and we do that every year here at Lakeside.
What do you enjoy about video? What is it that that drew you in that you enjoy it so much?
I just like seeing the finished product and just seeing, like, what I see I can portray through making videos. I just like doing that a lot and just seeing what the finished product looks like and stuff like that.
When making a video to promote your school, and as you say in your title, and your Lord, when promoting a Christian school, where do you begin with topics? How do you start brainstorming topics for your video, and where do you go from there?
Yeah, that's the hardest part, in my opinion, coming up with a good idea and the thing is just finding, it doesn't have to be necessarily one big topic, but incorporating different aspects of it. And that is probably the hardest part, in my opinion, just because it's hard. Sometimes you're lacking creativity or something like that. But once you get going on that topic, then it's pretty simple after that.
And then once you've got your topic, where do you go from there? Once you, or your topics, I should say. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, after I get the topic, I normally just put in a storyboard, which is, you can do it on a computer or a sheet of paper, and then you just write out the shots you're trying to get and like how, which angles you're going to do for those shots. And then that way you have kind of a plan of what to get, so you don't just go out there and try to film stuff, but then end up not getting what you intended to get in the end.
What do you look for when you're considering what equipment to use, whether a camera or other equipment? What do you look for?
Looking for something with obviously good quality, like 1080 HP is what I like to film in. I really like to use slow-mo a lot. I think that's something different and unique. I really like that. And just making sure that the picture itself is nice and steady. Like, not the camera's not moving around a lot. It's hard to watch. So just making sure it's easy and nice, flowing, easy to watch, stuff like that.
And so once you have content, once you've recorded that content, where do you go from there? Once, you know, when you start filming. But I guess, do we really call it filming anymore? Do you use film?
Yes. You can. Our old cameras have film, but right now it's all digital. Mm-hmm. So you can just, it's like almost putting pictures on your computer and then just putting them on your computer drive. And I don't like it a lot. It's really simple compared to, I'm not a big fan of using the tape anymore because I'm just so used to the digital. So, but then once you're done with that, you just put them on your drive and then you can put them into the editing software and you can go from there.
What does the cutting room look like for you when you're, what are you looking for when you start that initial editing and putting things together?
I look for just what I was trying to get from the shot. So anything like that I didn't want, I'll just cut out of it. But other than that, just making sure that it looks nice and what I really wanted to get in the beginning.
Why is it important to you as an artist, as a video maker, to consider different shots, different angles, different views as you're putting together your video? Why is that important?
It's just important because you don't want it to be plain and boring. You want it to be unique. And the different angles have their own unique perspectives. And just seeing it and being creative is the biggest thing with your angles. And it just makes it look all around better.
I think when it comes to viewing videos, our brains are kind of trained to expect a different perspective after a certain amount of time. Don't you think?
Yes, I completely agree with that. And as the year keeps going, it just keeps getting better. Or as the years go along, it just keeps getting better and better, the video quality in today.
Oh, any favorite effects, or why do you use effects in your videos?
They really make the video look better itself. Like, I use one effect I really like using. It's called three-way color corrector. And it really saturates the video, makes the colors really pop. And it just, the before and after is really, really a game changer.
And then when producing a video for your school, to promote your school, a Christian school, I gather you have lots of images. How do you tie it all together?
Yeah, it's basically, if you have music in it, you'll want to line it up with the music, but just making sure to get everything you want your school to, you know, because anyone can see it. If it's going on YouTube or something like that, you just want them to get the best of Lakeside.
And then I gather, do you use voice in some of yours? Do you use voiceover
right.
in some of your videos?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I would like using that. We have a sound room here at Lakeside, and it's just a room completely in, like, it's almost like a styrofoam, and no sound gets in or out. So if you're in there, the sound stays in there. And it's really nice and helpful for the video.
What do you, when you're looking at other videos that promote schools, what do you look for when you're looking at other videos?
I just compare them to our school and just look at maybe something that we could put in or something that we have that they might not have and just try to incorporate that and just watch it and see how we compare to them.
Nick, what do you think about being invited to be a presenter for the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. What do you think about that, being invited as one of the presenters?
Oh, yeah, it's a very unique opportunity, and I'm very thankful for it. And I definitely, it's a life, once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm really excited about that.
How is it, you know, being a high school senior, a high school student, and being a part of this conference, what do you want other students to know as they're thinking about how to use media for gospel outreach? What do you want them, what are some things perhaps you want them to consider when they're thinking about what they're doing online, whether it's conversations or even producing materials to post online? What do you want them to think about?
I would just say that don't be discouraged. People might try to bring you down about it, but just have a positive mindset and know that you're serving God and thanking Him through your videos, and you can make a difference.
Nick, what are your plans after high school?
I'm considering the Madison Media Institute or possibly the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, just because those two schools all have really good videography programs, and I'm looking into that. So I'm not for sure yet, but I'm excited about what's to come.
So continuing to study videography.
Yes, yep.
And continuing to make more videos for your school and perhaps other schools.
Right, correct. Yes, I'm very, very excited about that.
Very good. Well, I know that you have some work to do on your videos for homecoming for this week.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We'll let you get back to that and preparing for homecoming. God's blessings, and have a safe time at homecoming.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Nick Bartels, senior and video maker at Lakeside Lutheran High School, Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with more of the presenters for the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. Again, you can find the conference at gown.org. The archives of the previous conference still on that website. The conference, the new conference for this fall coming up on Monday, October 10th. You'll find new content then. But you might want to go peruse some of the content from the previous conferences, get an idea of how the conference runs, and you can also find information about the upcoming conference. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Many well-meaning Christians support abortion when it comes to rape. Catherine's story may change their minds. She was raped and became pregnant. Plus, she used drugs early in the pregnancy. Catherine couldn't afford an abortion. No, God had another plan for her child. Instead of aborting, she chose life for her baby boy and placed him in the loving arms of adoptive parents. And along the way, she came to know Jesus. After the adoption, Catherine believes her baby turned a tragedy into something wonderful. She says the violent crime of rape turned into a beautiful journey. It wasn't an easy journey, but when we follow God's will for our lives, He promises to bless us. Every baby God allows to come into existence is a precious gift that He expects us to welcome.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
In this corner, weighing in at 170 pounds with the sage wisdom of age, Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky.
And in this corner, weighing in at over 300 pounds with the quick thinking of youth, Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
Yeah.
Weighing in at over 300 pounds?
Well, Matt, the radio easily adds 50 pounds.
But I'm not over 200.
Matt.
Wrestling with the Basics.
Saturday mornings at 9 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
Wednesday afternoon at 2 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about the Gospel Outreach with Media Online Conference. Our next guest, May Taki. She is an online digital instructor with the Association of Lutheran Schools. May, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us today. Also, serving as presenter for Gaming for the Gospel in the Gospel Outreach with Media Online Conference. May, tell me a little bit about your work as an educator in specifically digital content.
Well, I am not trained as an educator per se. I have pursued a number of areas of education in which I have had the privilege of working with technology and high school students and bringing together people from Microsoft to work with my high school students. And so I pursued rather a certification in teaching with technology. And so that is the basis of my education foundation on which I build the things that I do.
Well, the presentation that you're providing for the Gospel Outreach with Media Online Conference, Gaming for the Gospel, where did this idea begin?
Well, it really came from Dr. Custer because he knew that I was teaching game programming online to high school students. And he approached me with the idea and the concept of, okay, if we can present to students a learning process where they can put together a game and at the same time learn a gospel truth and then provide a venue for someone else to play that game and learn that same gospel truth. And so that was the early concept of this. And I've been involved with Christian education since 1979, and that just sounded like a really nice concept for me to give some thought to and see if I could pull together something that would get students involved in learning the Bible truths while they prepare games, and then giving it out to students of any age that could play these games, learn the same gospel truth.
What do you hope students will gain from games? What do you hope that the ultimate outcomes will be? Maybe it's just one simple step, or maybe it's something really big. What do you think, what do you hope students will gain from participating in games?
Well, I think the students will gain a deeper understanding of the Bible stories, the Bible truths that they're working with, but they also will have the opportunity to build skills in a venue that is becoming very, very much a part of everyday life, learning how to use technology to communicate, to teach. There's a real trend now towards using project-based education and game-based education so that students have the opportunity for hands-on, interactive learning opportunities. And so I would like my students who come to this conference say to me, hey, what would you think of this idea? Or what would you think of that idea? Or how can I get this skill that I can use to make this happen? So I have no prescribed plan for my conference. I have no curriculum. I just have questions. This is what you have available to you to use. Now, how would you like to use it? And in the process, not only will they learn, but I will learn. And then I will have things that I can share with others. So it's a give and take interactive program that I anticipate, and we will see what happens.
When we talk about gaming today, What do we mean? You know, when we think about projects or games in the past, I'm thinking, you know, board games and things like that. But we're talking about digital games. What does that really entail?
It entails finding a good software that will provide you the technology to create games. It requires you to develop computer literacy skills. You will need to develop a programming language, of which there are many. You will have to identify any game engine that can provide the foundation for your project. And then you have to take a look at your own ability to work with others, because if I've learned nothing else in this whole process of working with the people from Microsoft and in my own teaching, not one person can really develop the most sophisticated game. It takes a team, and so you will have to learn to work together.
What about, you know, how has gaming changed over the years? I mean, now we're looking at, you know, the images are so much richer, and even in some in 3D. How does that make a difference going from...
It makes a great difference because if you think of 2D and you're playing a little game and you're bringing a character across the screen and it's going to collect an object or it's going to get to a certain goal, it's all very linear. Whereas in a 3D game, you add that third dimension and there's a lot more complexity to telling your player where to go, how to get to the final result. And the other thing that I'm finding with Christian games is there are no objects available. You have to start creating your own. And there's software out there that allows you to do that. So that adds another dimension to what students will have to learn and explore. And then they have to dig into history. You want to do an Old Testament Bible story? How did they dress? How do you create your 3D object that's going to present a character that existed in Old Testament times? So it gets to be very deep, very widespread, and it gives them the opportunity to ask questions and explore and come up with ideas that say, how about if we try this, will this work? And then they put it into a game. And now, again, they've got their characters. Now, how do they make them do the things they want them to do? And here comes the game engine and the programming language. And it's just a very exciting, very complex approach to adding what people normally think is violence in gaming to adding a Christian theme to gaming. And I think we can do it. I think our students have the ability to do it.
If students are studying and learning about building games, developing games, this alone can be a learning experience for them in terms of, as you said, if they're building a game about a biblical truth or a biblical history, they have to research the biblical history themselves and study that in order to develop the game appropriately. So this can really turn into quite the project and learning experience for students if we're using this in an educational setting.
Correct. And I think the thing that students have to realize up front, that you don't just sit down at your computer and in an evening put together a game. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of storyboard creating, a lot of determining what the goals are. You know, how do you win a game in a Bible story? What is the goal to a Bible story? How do you win? You know, that would be one of the questions I would like my students to explore. How do you win a Bible story game?
With the conference coming up on October 10th, just around the corner, what are you looking for most about this online conference?
Well, I'm really going to enjoy my retirement because one of the things that you can do is you can chat with these participants. And so I'm going to allow myself plenty of time to chat, to explore, to come up with ideas built on their ideas. I'm looking forward to it as being one of the best learning, you know, opportunities that I have.
It certainly will be an engaging event. And now that you've shared a little bit more about your presentation, I'm all the more intrigued by how gaming can be used for the gospel. May, thanks so much for being my guest today. I appreciate your time.
Well, you are welcome, and make sure you visit our site often.
Very good. GOWM.org. May Taki, and an online digital instructor with the Association of Lutheran Schools. May, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family.
You're welcome.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll continue our conversations learning about the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Lutheran Prayer Breakfast, hosted by Lutheran Senior Services, will be held on Wednesday, October 12th at the Orlando Events and Conference Center in Maryland Heights. This year, learn about the poor people of God, for whom we pray. Deadline for registration and ticketing is October 5th. Angie Sutton has information on the Lutheran Prayer Breakfast at 314-262-8217 or email angie.sutton@lssliving.org.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about the Gospel Outreach with Media online conference coming up Monday, October 10th. It begins and continues through the month of October, ending on October 31st, Reformation Day. Joining me now, the Reverend Brian Klebig, pastor with the ELS, Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and a doctoral student at Michigan State University, East Lansing. Pastor Klebig, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you as my guest today. You are presenting on What Should I Do with My Holodeck? Exploring Virtual Reality for Evangelism. All right, before we even get very far in the conversation, for those of us not familiar with a holodeck and virtual reality, can you give us like the reader's edition or the short version?
Oh no, there's people not familiar with holodecks. Okay, well that's fine. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, you know, and I loved watching Star Trek: The Next Generation. They had this room there where you could go in and run a computer program, and then inside of that environment, they'd manifest some completely false digital environment for you to exist in, right? Or they could just manifest an object in there for them to manipulate and tinker with. So that is kind of what I'm doing. We are building a lab in the basement of the Communication Arts and Sciences building that is capable of replicating all of these incredible things and creating all of these cool environments. We do virtual reality, which is a fully immersive environment that you can move through. We do augmented reality, which is you still stay in the same room and you see everything as it is around you, but you create in that room then an additional digital object. So if you've seen, you know, Avengers or Iron Man or that sort of thing, and Tony Stark reaches out and grabs a hologram and is manipulating it, that's the sort of thing that we can do in there. And we do full motion tracking so that we can track you in that environment. It is a pretty slick setup. Seriously, if you come to Michigan, give me an email and I'll give you a tour. It's truly fantastic.
That sounds interesting, to say the least. I mean, tell me about this technology that creates these images, this virtual reality.
Well, it's pretty high-end stuff, but now it's coming down to the level that consumers can start purchasing it. You know, you've got consumer level virtual reality headsets available to you these days. You can buy an HTC Vive or an Oculus Rift, and you'll need a pretty pricey computer. And the devices themselves are still pretty expensive. But you can actually start doing this stuff in your home. The tech itself is really an interesting blend of so many different media where
you take somebody and you really do blot out the outside world. The headset for a virtual reality device fits completely over your eyes so that you can't see anything except that virtual world, and it does surround you. It's not like looking through goggles or anything. The objects that appear in there are not just fully 3D, but you can reach out and touch them in a digital type of way. For all purposes, they look like they are actually there. We put on nice expensive headphones so that we blot out the sound from your environment. We can plug you fully into a digital environment.
So, tell me about the lab where you get to study and the equipment you get to work with and what you're exploring with that.
Well, right now the lab is still in construction. This is going to be quite the impressive feat. It's called the Charisma Lab. And once it's finally constructed, it will be able to do some pretty amazing things. Already we're able to do some pretty impressive stuff. We can put people in motion capture suits and move them around. We can do image replacement, so we can have two people who are in the same space talking to each other, and we can change one of them into a gremlin, and we can change the other one into a glowing yellow person, and then we can send them plummeting into some sort of environment of our creation. We can send them to the desert or the jungle or whatever. And my first experience in virtual reality, I ended up on top of a mountaintop, and I spent about half an hour just standing in absolute awe that I was on a mountaintop in my lab, and played with a virtual dog up there. And this is a pretty impressive technology. What we're primarily going to be looking at in the long term, at least for myself, it's got a very wide variety of applications, but for myself, I'm primarily interested in enjoyment and media effects, media response. I'm a media psychology researcher here, so that's going to be my primary area, is how do people react to these environments, and what do they find stimulating, and what do they walk away with? How does it affect memory and enjoyment and attention?
Now, what does this mean for you as a pastor? Does this mean that you'll be creating a hologram of you preaching so that you can take off on Sundays?
Well, this is the question that I've been trying to explore, and this is the question that I've kind of brought to the conference. There is not a ton of precedent for virtual reality, and it's unique. I don't think we have a set of blueprints from prior media that we can operate off of and say, okay, well, let's do this the same and this the same and this the same, and that's the way that we'll be able to present the gospel message. Here we've got this really cool, incredible tool, and as the title of my my article suggests, I'm not entirely positive what to do with it. So what I tried to do is just lay out some ideas for how we might be able to employ this technology for gospel outreach. But hopefully we won't be replacing pastors with holograms. That would be somewhat sad.
So that's not your goal here, but looking at and exploring ways that that this technology, this media might be used for gospel outreach, for proclaimed gospel, for engaging in perhaps thought and conversation.
That's correct. With some of the other media, it was highly intuitive how these forms could influence gospel outreach. Radio, it was highly intuitive. All of a sudden, we could reach people so far away, and we did an excellent job with it. My grandmother was not raised in a Christian household, and she came to faith when she heard the message brought to her over radio. That was what started it for my entire family. She had six children. Two of them became pastors, and then myriad grandchildren, and I'm a pastor from that too. The power of media is extreme. Radio harnessed it extremely well. I think, as Tom indicated earlier, we struggled slightly more with television and film. Television and film require narratives and stories and arcs and conflict, and sometimes those things aren't the easiest to work into that form. And then May was talking about video games, and she brought up at the end that video games require an objective. And what does it mean for a Christian to win a video game? Does does it have to end with you dying and going to heaven? And that's your objective. Your final objective for this particular game is to die. That would be a very unique game. I'd probably play that. But it's tricky to think about things in that sense. With virtual reality, all that you require is an environment. And the environment is what pulls you in. There doesn't have to be a narrative. There doesn't have to be an objective. Just being in this different place can be pretty profound and is pretty profound. And I think that might be the way that we should consider virtual reality as a potential outreach tool.
What do you see as potential problems for trying to communicate the gospel through this type of technology?
I think the problems are the same ones that we faced with other forms of media. The difficulty of having competent people who can do this, having a well-produced product, having a product that when it's successful, we follow up on it. I remember playing Halo in college, and that wasn't the last Halo game. They followed it up over and over, always updating, always keeping it fresh and new and bringing in new things. I think that if we have people who are truly dedicated to doing this, and if we can even create our own studios that can be dedicated to doing this, we can do something that's truly impressive with virtual reality. But it's going to be complicated. I think, though, the reward might be worth it. I can't help but imagine it would be much easier for me to start a conversation about why I have faith with a friend of mine here if first he stood on the banks of the Red Sea as Moses parted it and saw the dust as Pharaoh's army came crashing towards us. I was terrified the first time that I was in a virtual reality environment and something came crashing towards me because it looks like it is there. To be able to put somebody in one of those experiences, be on the boat as Jesus calms the storm, be able to experience these things, I think it could be a conversation starter for people who aren't familiar with it. And for Christians, I think these could be pretty profound and reflective experiences.
With just about a minute left, Pastor, what are you looking forward to about the Gospel Outreach with Media Conference? What are you hoping folks will gain by participating in this online conference?
Well, I hope that they gain and contribute in equal measure. My strong hope is that I get some direction for what I do with this holodeck downstairs. I'd love to know the direction I should be pointing students in for development in this area. I'd love to have some ideas for ways that we could reach people. What I hope this produces is an interest in the future of this technology, the future of this medium, because I really do believe this is the direction that things are heading, and I would love to see Christians, especially Lutherans, in front of the curve on it.
Pastor Brian Klibig, ELS pastor and doctoral student at Michigan State University East Lansing and presenter of What Should I Do With My Holodeck? Exploring Virtual Reality for Evangelism at the Gospel Outreach with Media Online Conference. Pastor Klibig, thanks so much for being my guest today. God's blessings on the upcoming conference.
Well, thank you for having me. God's blessings on your work, too.
Most certainly. My pleasure. Well, coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, I want to let you know that you can find out more about the Gospel Outreach with Media Online Conference, GOWM.org, coming up, begins on Monday, October 10th, carries on through the month of October, through October 31st, Reformation Day. Check it out, folks. Learn something. You can engage in conversation there in the online conference and attend some of the presentations. It's bound to be something that, well, we certainly need to consider. How can we use these resources in a way to bring the good news of Jesus to people in ways that in technology that they're already using and perhaps we already use? You're listening to Faith and Family, Thy Strong Word, up next on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.